What will the year 2170 be like? It's our choice. So writes Dr. Donald Chambers. His website is donaldrchambers.com. He's a retired professor from Lafayette University and has a lot to say about the subject of socialism. He also writes articles that are seen all over the place, including Christian Post. Dr. Chambers, great to have you on the program. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. It's an honor.
Sure. And this is Jerry Newcomb, and this is Vocal Point. Okay, first of all, you say that the choice is ours, and that's in direct reference to socialism. And you note in your article that 1870 to 1970, we saw amazing changes, you know, mostly positive, except for the moral part. And then what will 2170 be like? Well, it will be different if America chooses the path of socialism and becomes like Venezuela. So why don't you go ahead and wax eloquent about the thesis of your article?
Well, we see what happens to a country like Venezuela or North Korea or East Germany that goes down the path of socialism. And so many of the impoverished nations of the world, it's socialism is the underlying problem and lack of private property rights. But I think the horrible outcomes of going socialist are pretty well documented. But I'd like to put two issues in there, and one is to talk about what happens to everybody if America goes socialist, and the other is to really kind of flesh out what I mean by socialism. So the first part is that one of the things that keeps countries like Venezuela and North Korea alive and some level of prosperity is because they can trade with nations that aren't socialistic, that are going down the tubes. But if we look at what America has been the leader of virtually every invention or the making them available to the public of virtually everything that's been invented in the past 150 years, when lifespans have doubled and we've literally walked on the moon, it's almost all coming from America. So the first thing that I'm getting at is that if America goes socialistic, we're not going to have other countries to emulate or to free ride on because we are kind of the last great hope. And the second part, though, is to talk about what we mean by socialism. And it really has two prongs to it. One is when the government takes over the industries, the production process, and that's the most dangerous form of socialism. And then the other is the part of socialism, and the economists wouldn't call this socialism, but the popular press does, is when we have very high tax rates on the rich and we transfer money from the rich and give it to the poor in the form of obviously welfare, but also increasingly it's being argued that it should be things like free education, free child care, a guaranteed minimum wage, and those sort of things are often called socialism, and they're also insidious.
Okay. First of all, in terms of your overall thesis, one thing that came to my mind as you were saying it is there are a lot of people like Bernie Sanders who are saying what America needs is what Canada does when it comes to the health care. So here we are so close to Canada, and yet, in Canada, the health care is free for everybody. Well, it's not really free because you're taxed for it. But if America had, let's say, a Canadian type system, which that's what they mean when they say one party system or one payer system, that the government is the one payer, and in other words, socialized medicine like what they have in Canada. If that happened in America, would that in any way minimize in the future the kind of research and development and all kinds of medical breakthroughs that are happening in America because of our capitalist system so far?
Absolutely. The last time I looked, I think it was 8 of the 10 largest pharmaceutical companies are out of America, healthcare advances and equipment companies are out of America. If we go down the path of letting our government take over entirely our healthcare system, and they've ruined a lot of it by taking over parts of the healthcare system, but if we let them take over all of it, I don't think people realize how dangerous that is. And you say, well, Canada seems to be doing all right. Well, first of all, it isn't. I know a lot of Canadians. And there are people from all over the world coming to the United States for the best health care. If we ruin our health care system, where are we going to go when we need something special? So it would ruin the United States health care system, and it's not working in Canada. If you think it's working in Canada, it's because you don't know Canadians and talk with them about this, honest Canadians. It's a disaster there. But, you know, as I say, the world can survive with these socialistic healthcare models as long as America is here to have a market-based system that rewards people for coming up with new treatments. My youngest daughter works in a cancer research area in Boston, and people from all over the world were flying to Boston for treatment. I don't hear people traveling from all over the world to Montreal to get special treatments out. And Canada is one of the best examples of an alternative to the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I interviewed a lady that was from Canada, had been paying through the roof, you know, for years and years and years for her quote-unquote free health care. Then when she really got sick and when she really needed the system, they basically postponed the date of the surgery. And she said she was, you know, told by her doctors she would lose her eyesight if she waited that long. She ended up jumping ship, coming to America, going to a Mayo Clinic in Arizona. I didn't even know they had the Mayo Clinic or a branch of the Mayo Clinic in Arizona until she told me her story. She would have lost her eyesight if she had played by the rules in Canada. Oh, and she came back to Canada and got rebuked and kind of, I think she was fined or something like that. But it's like, wow, this, I've been paying all these years for this system. Bernie Sanders doesn't tell these kinds of stories.
Well, the progressive leftists are trying to change more than just health care. They have a totally different view of rights and why we're here on this earth and how we should deal with each other. And it's so they're going to attack our system and they're going to try to dismantle it. And it's not going to be based upon logic, and it's certainly not going to be based upon evidence. It's just their agenda. They hate America. They hate the American system. Whereas we view, many of us view that our rights are endowed to us by God.
Mm-hmm.
They view that rights are endowed by government. So the more power that government can have, the more rights we're supposedly going to have. And they close their eyes when it comes to Venezuela and East Germany and North Korea. And then they try to hold up places like European nations. And I remember being at a bed and breakfast with the nicest guy who ran the bed and breakfast. And he told me the story that he was dying from heart problems and he couldn't get treatment because of the waiting periods. And one of his customers at the bed and breakfast was a heart surgeon. And at his expense, he flew him down to another country and performed surgery in a private clinic and saved his life.
Mm.
It's something that we need to be so careful about. If we let this great shining light that's helped develop lifespans, doubled lifespans and everything else, not just for ourselves, but for the whole world. We had the economy and the people to stop fascism in the 1940s. And if we let this go in a socialistic direction, I worry for the whole world.
Hmm. And as a college professor, and you're not doing that anymore, right? You're retired from that. But I'm sure you saw through the years what Rush Limbaugh has called skulls full of mush, you know, when it comes to economic ideas. For example, take the example of the minimum wage. Now you've got, in fact, recently the House of Representatives passed a new bill saying that the minimum wage throughout the country will be $15 an hour. Sounds good, right? What's wrong with the idea of increasing the minimum wage?
Well, let's make it $100 an hour. If 15's good, let's make it 100. And every one of my students would say, oh, no, that's stupid. If you raise it to $100 an hour, it's going to have a lot of unintended and negative consequences. Well, what's to say that there's a magic number called 15? And the amount would certainly differ from place to place. The minimum wage in San Francisco has to be a lot higher than the minimum wage in Arkansas. So it shouldn't be a matter of federal policy. But it isn't about giving $15 and helping the poor. The progressive left really doesn't care about these. And this is, I hate to say this about people, but they're really just about controlling and power. And this is just an instrument to tear down our natural rights. and move us under their control. And when we're under their control, it will be totalitarian. That's where socialism ends up.
Hmm. Okay, let me ask you a question. When it comes to the word itself, progressive, I know that's the word they use to describe themselves, and I know that the word liberal, Dennis Prager doesn't like the people on the right to use that word because what we're really talking about is the left, you know, and the idea of being liberal is actually a positive thing. But so is being for progress. I am for progress, but I'm certainly not a progressive in terms of, you know, AOC or, you know, Elizabeth Warren or those types. So do you have a suggestion for an alternative word to progressives or liberals?
As a Christian, no.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, this is a Christian station. Okay. All right. Next question. In your column, you talk about how the idea that in 1870, nobody could have guessed how wonderful it would be in America 150 years later. Now, again, we're not talking about the morality here or a spiritual yes. condition, but we are talking about all kinds of things that have made life better and ameliorated the human condition, you know, through the years. Here's what you've said. Who could have predicted there would be cars, jets, electric lights, air conditioning, antibiotics, vaccinations, recorded sounds, videos, TVs, cell phones, personal computers, and most impressive of all, instant wireless communication through the internet? Who could have, you know, imagined that? And you said earlier in this program, basically we've doubled our lifespan in America because of all this progress, true progress that we've experienced. Is that right? And you're saying all of this is at stake if we go down the socialist route that, you know, people like Bernie Sanders wants us to do.
Yeah, we've more than doubled it in the last 150 years. And who knows what we will miss if we destroy this economic miracle. I can't imagine how wonderful life could be 150 years from now. But I want to point out that the poor people today in this country do have wonderful qualities of life relative to, you know, relative to 150 years ago. And they're not that much different than the lifestyles of the rich. I mean, the richest people, the billionaires in this country, yes, they have things that I don't have. Maybe they take private jets rather than commercial jets, and the list goes on. But we all have, all of us that use our resources wisely have enough food, quality food, safe transportation, nice places to live in terms of being safe and sheltered from the weather. The dispersion of our lifestyles is smaller than it's ever been before.
All right. Since we brought up the issue of the poor, let me ask you this. You look at Los Angeles and you look at San Francisco, just those two cities as an example. They have a very serious problem with homelessness. In San Francisco, I've been told that about $500 a month is given to any homeless person that manages to come there, and they can get this on a regular stipend. But $500 a month isn't going to take you very far, so you get the free handout from the city. On the one hand, it's probably higher now. I heard that statistic a few years ago. But that's not enough to live on. So we have 1 minute left to go. What would you say about the serious poverty issue and homelessness that we're facing even right now in this country?
Well, I our heart goes out to people, and most of these people are not have real problems, mental problems or drug addiction problems. But we need to use our logic and rationale of how we help them in the long run, and giving people money to pursue lifestyles that are destroying themselves is not being charitable.
Mm. All right. People can read more of your materials, including your book, which includes a lot of essays. The name of the book is?
Freedom First.
Freedom First. DonaldRChambers.com. Dr. Chambers, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Jerry.